If you're into instant gratification, stay away from prayer. Let's talk about it on Key Light.
If you're a Christian who needs to hear the hopeful truth that God isn't mad at you, you've come to the right place. This is Key Life with your host, author, and seminary professor, Steve Brown. We're glad you've joined us today on Key Life for Steve's teaching on prayer. If you've experienced the pain of unanswered prayer, it'll be helpful. And as long as we're talking about issues of pain and loss and faith, we'd like to offer you a free CD of Steve's conversation with William Paul Young, the author of The Shack. We had the opportunity to interview Mr. Young on our talk show, Steve Brown, Etc., and we'd love to share the interview with you. Be sure to stick around after the teaching to find out how to get your free CD. Now let's join Steve for the teaching for today.
You know what the real problem is when you talk about unanswered prayer? It's that we think that if God doesn't say yes, then he didn't answer the prayer. And I mentioned this a number of times. God can say yes. He can say no. That means he answered the prayer. And he can also say, you're a fruitcake. What in the world are you asking that for? But he never turns us away. He always accepts us. You know, the problem with us, we're instant gratification people, aren't we? What we want right now. We're so used to instant stuff that we spend an evening by an instant fireplace in 30 seconds. Or somebody, I saw a cartoon once that showed a guy taking a box of stuff in a third world country and putting it in a big pot, and it said instant missionary. We just want it yesterday and sooner, if at all possible. God's hardly in a hurry about anything. It's been said that God is very slow, but he's never late. I can tell you the tears and the pain and the worry and the fear, and I've told you this, that my father's alcoholism engendered. Nevertheless, my father was the kindest man I've ever known. And he, more than any other, taught me unconditional love. I can understand why those who had horrible and abusive fathers wince when I mention Heavenly Father, because they think of their earthly father. I have a friend whose father, this really happened, whose father put him up on the dresser and when he was a little boy and said, jump and I'll catch you. And his son started crying. My friend said, that's scary, Daddy. And he said, no, jump, I'll catch you. So finally he mustered up his courage. He jumped and his father turned his back and he hit the floor. And he said, son, let that be a lesson to you. Don't you trust anybody. And I have another friend who's had been on the outs with her father for 100 years. And across the country, she heard he was dying. She rushed to the hospital to be at his deathbed. And just before he died, she came into the hospital room and leaned over and said, Daddy, I love you. And he opened his eyes and said, I hate you. And he died. That makes me wince. And so when I say Heavenly Father to people who've had fathers like that, my, you go, oh, no, I don't want a father. Let me tell you, I had a father who was not a good person, as I said. He had a booze problem, did a lot of other bad stuff, but he loved me without condition. When Jesus refers to the Father and his goodness, I always thought of my earthly father and figured that if God was as kind and as gentle and his unconditional in his love for me, as my earthly father, I had it made in the shade. But alcoholism is a horrible thing, and our family paid a price for it. My mother, one of the most godly, earthy women I've ever known, she read Charles Spurgeon in the morning, the Bible in the evening, and in between, she taught me how to cuss. Prayed for my father for 30 years. My brother and I, when we were old enough to understand, joined our prayers to my mother's prayers. I can remember the time we thought our prayers had finally been answered. Man, colleague of my father, who my father respected, was a recovering alcoholic and asked Dad to go with him to AA, and he was in an automobile accident the night before. What's with that? But we prayed. And we prayed. You have no idea how many prayers were said or how often we asked God to grant my father sobriety and salvation. I often saw my mother pleading for that before God, but we didn't give up. We kept on praying. There isn't room to hear to tell you the whole story, but the short version, my father's witness at the time of his death touched a lot of people. He's in heaven now because a godly doctor told him about Jesus, and it didn't have anything to do with him being good. My father's sober now, and he's safe because he's home. And he's home because God's timing was better than our family's timing. Am I suggesting that if God says no or wait to your prayers, that eventually you'll get whatever it is you pray for? Of course not. Truth is that we may never know until we get to heaven why some of our prayers were unanswered. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." That's the reality of having unanswered questions and unanswered prayer. However, sometimes God will allow you to look back and see his hand in the slow and certain process of the answer to your prayers. And when he does that, rejoice over it. I'm an old guy now, and I've done a lot of praying over my life. Some of it was good and some of it was bad. Some of it was selfish. Some of it was godly. Some of it was proper and some of it was improper. Some of the best praying I ever prayed was a groan when I just said, "Oh, God, have mercy." But I look back and I can see God's hand in so many places in my life. I can see it in my daughter's lives and their faithful walk with Christ. And then there were times when I thought it'd never happen. I could see it in my own life when I would say, "I got this sin. You got to do something about it. I can't stop." And I couldn't, but I'm better now. And I can see God's slow and sure process. Just don't run until you see the end of it. When you look back and you see his answers, rejoice and be glad. You think about that. Amen. Boy, is The Shack a controversial book. I interviewed the author of The Shack. I'm going to play a bit of it for you so you can listen. And listen to this. I think you'll find it interesting. And if you want the entire interview, we're going to send it to you free. And Eric will come in after this clip I'm going to play for you and tell you how you can get the whole interview free without charge, and we'll pay the postage. There are people who just cannot deal with this book because their underwear is too tight. There's some others who are theological types and want you to write a by the way, just so you know, and I told you this off the air, but I think you handle the doctrine of the Trinity deftly. It's impossible to teach on the Trinity without slipping somewhere into some kind of heresy that's happened somewhere in the last 2,000 years, and you didn't do that. You were very, very careful in writing about. But let me ask you, are you New Age?
Yeah. Well, if the New Age is the kingdom of God, absolutely.
Are you, somebody said that your book was just another version of Embracing the Light. Are you that?
No. And, you know, and it's been compared with Course in Miracles and all those things which are all about self-centered, you know, God is you in another form, and I'm not that at all. I tell you, the path narrows to the person of only Jesus Christ, and that is all. I'm not a universalist. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of people out there that know me better than I do, what's interesting is, and what the freedom for me is, that because I know that this is his thing. I mean, we haven't done any marketing and promotion to speak of, and God has decided to do this. So, you know, the controversy that is raised is good because people are having conversations, even the ones whose underwear is too tight. they're raising the questions to the surface and having conversations that they haven't had before.
Now, you used a Wait, you used a word there, conversation. Are you emergent?
You know what? I don't know what that means. So, you know, it's like when people ask me if I'm a Christian. What I say is, well, tell me what one of those is, and I'll tell you if I'm one of them.
I love it.
Because the word means so many different things to different people. And people just, you know, going back to the Trinity issue, people have asked me, who in the world were you reading? And let me tell you, I didn't intend to write this incredible book and story about where the Trinity has so emerged so beautifully. All I did was describe the relationship, because I'm trying to communicate to my kids inside a story that our relationships, one another, is a mirror, a poor mirror or a poor reflection of the life that must exist within God, or else relationship itself is just a myth. And the little phrase about the Trinity that I used was from Ravi Zacharias. And this is the phrase that framed how I worked on just describing their relationship as they related to each other. And that's the phrase that is this: unity and diversity in the community of the Trinity. Oh. And I heard that phrase 20 years ago or 15 years ago, and it just kind of sat in my back of my mind. And when I started drawing out or just painting the picture of how they love one another and this deep other-centered affection that exists within Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it was in that little frame of unity and diversity in the community of the Trinity. And again, it wasn't my intention. I wasn't trying to write a theological treatise, and it's not a, you know, it's not a systematic theology, and it's not the Bible, and it's a work of fiction. But the story has a way to penetrate to the heart, and you get to see things from the heart where the mind is not excluded in any way.
Yeah.
But the penetration is past our defenses and our paradigms and the shame-based performance stuff that we grew up with.
That's William Paul Young on Steve Brown, Etc., talking about The Shack, and we'd love to send you a free CD with the entire program. We talk about the healing impact of The Shack, some of the controversy surrounding it, but better than that, Mr. Young shares his personal journey and how it shaped the book, The Shack. Give us a call toll-free, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, and ask for the free Steve Brown, Etc. CD with the author of The Shack. Or mail your request to Key Life Network, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. If you're in Canada, send your request to Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or email Steve at keylife.org and ask for the Steve Brown, Etc. CD with the author of The Shack, and we'll send it to you free as part of our mission to change lives with the message of God's grace and freedom in Christ. You can join us in that mission with a gift to Key Life. You can give using your MasterCard, Visa, or Discover card, or include a gift in your envelope. Key Life's a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.